Opening day fever will grip the baseball nation this week, so what better way to celebrate than with this little ditty?
I grew up in L.A. to the sweet sounds of Vin Scully. That's how I went to bed most every night. There ain't no prettier park than the one in Chavez Ravine. I see many games by the palm trees and the lights. But I sure do love Manhattan.
That song is on a new CD, The Baseball Project, Volume 2. It celebrates all things baseball and is put together by a band that only gets together during the major league season. Two of its members, Peter Buck and Linda Pittman, cannot be with us, but Steve Wynn and Scott McCoy are. They're in the studio of member station WUGA in Athens, Georgia. Hey, guys.
Hey there. Hey, how's it going?
Going well. I'm excited about opening day. Let me ask you, how inside is this recording? Is it for fans only?
I don't think so at all. In fact, I think, you know, I think the record works well in two ways, because if you are as big a baseball fan as we are, or even a bigger fan, we cover all the bases, sorry. And, a baseball fanatic will get all the fun references and all the arcane knowledge and twists and turns on history. But if you're not a baseball fan, they're just good stories about, you know, kind of universal things that baseball players happen to live through. Like, for example, you know, the opening track in the new record, 1976, is about Mark Fidrich and that great rookie year he had. But if you didn't know who Mark Fidrich is, you can just appreciate it as a song about lost youth and nostalgia and the way we hold on to memories from a long time ago.
Volume 2 is called High and Inside. Volume 1 was released in 2008. Frozen Ropes and Dying Quails. I do love the vocabulary, and there's one title called Chin Music. So let's play a little Chin Music.
Back in the 50s when Magley was pitching, he sent a little message. Now and then they called him the Bar because he gave a mighty close shave. Oh, Chin Music, a little Chin.
Explain the term chin music.
It is a great phrase, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
it's chin music is a beanball, a pitch thrown at the batter's head to send a little message to kind of back him off the plate. And I guess, you know, the idea, you're just going up near your chin and maybe you can hear the music of the fastball sailing by. I'm not sure which key that's in.
Oh, we're gonna get high inside.
This is a song about pitchers and what separates the veteran from the rookie. And is that the willingness to pitch high and inside?
I think. I mean, obviously, still pitchers still will challenge a hitter, and you know, and there are a lot of tough guys out there, you know, who will use intimidation. But I think that's more of an old school kind of thing. I remember I grew up a Dodger fan listening to Don Drysdale, who was announced from the Dodgers, and he would spend half the game just criticizing pitcher after pitcher for not being willing to throw inside. I kind of like that. I think he wanted more batters knocked down, more concussions.
Yeah, we have to
dandy Don.
We have to talk about that though, because concussions are a concern. And you actually pay homage to a former Red Sox player, Tony Conigliaro, who was hit in the head by a ball. So on the one hand, you have, you know, chin music as something that's good, but on the other hand, you have consequences, and Tony was one of them.
Yeah, it's a fine line between, you know, being a guy who's not afraid to go inside and being a headhunter, you know, and you definitely don't want to see anybody get hurt. But we do appreciate the grittiness, I guess, of the old school players.
I'm speaking with Steve Wynn and Scott McCoy. They're members of the band who has put together The Baseball Project, Volume 2. In one song, you write, a long season can end in a terrible play, tragic, and you have a litany of them under the title Buckner's Bolero. Before I ask you about that, how much research do you do into the statistics? And then, you know, you have to form them into lyrics that rhyme.
You know, I have to say some of our songs do get pretty wordy, you know, but somehow I think we've made it work pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, Buckner's Bolero, I'd read a book about the 1986 Mets, actually, and it culminated in the World Series, of course, with the Red Sox. And the whole idea came to me, you know, that if any one little thing had changed, you know, and you could name a million things, that really, really famous play would never have happened, and Buckner wouldn't be remembered for that ball that squibbed past him, you know, in the World Series.
And you do sort of list his other stats at the end, and your moral seems to be, yeah, he made one bad mistake, he was the GOAT, but look at the rest of his career, which, as you say, nobody tends to do.
Right. But then I also make the point that maybe nobody would really remember him at all if he hadn't made that bad play.
And if not that, then you're just an historical footnote. And you're 22.
The tune Look Out, Mom continues this theme of errant baseballs.
That's true. It's a dangerous game,
it baseball. It is. So you're reiterating the warning to fans to keep their eyes on the ball and bring a glove.
Exactly.
Do not span seems a fine young man, doesn't curse, abuse, or litter. And when the Twin City Twins are racking up wins, it all starts with the leadoff hitter. Now a fine young man looks after his clan, and he gets them killer seats by the dugout. They're having so much fun in the midday sun, but oh, you gotta be on the lookout. Look out, Mom, look out, Mom, you better keep your eye on me.
Look out, Mom. I mean, are your mom's baseball fans?
Well, the song was inspired. I happened to be watching a preseason game last year, and the first batter of the game was Denard Span, and it was against the Yankees, and he lined a Phil Hughes fastball, I believe, right directly into the front row of the stands, and it hit somebody, and they went, and they were all people gathering around and hoping that she wasn't, you know, badly injured, and it turned out it was his mom. He'd got her, you know, these great seats for the game right in the front row, and the first batter in the game, and he nailed her with a line drive right in the chest.
So let this be a lesson when the game is progressing and you're messing around in the stands. And you've had a few beers and you're bending some ears, maybe talking about your favorite new bands. You gotta stay on your toes because everybody knows that the rock can come fast and hard. Better keep your head up, use a mirror or a cup, or they'll be carrying you out of the yard. So look out, Mom, look out, Mom, don't want another casualty.
The fun thing about the baseball project for us is that there's no end to the songs you can write. You know, we all have other bands. We all have actually multiple other bands,
yeah.
And you know, and we do a lot of other records. But with the baseball project, we know what we're writing about. The songs aren't going to be about, you know, construction work or deep sea diving. You know, we're writing about baseball, and there's a million stories in baseball to tell.
Steve Wynn and Scott McCoy are two members of the band that just released The Baseball Project, Volume 2, High and Inside. They're at member station WUGA in Athens, Georgia. Thanks, guys. Play ball.
All right.
thanks a lot, Leon.
Oh, Brandon, Bronson, and Joey. Oh, Aaron, Johnny, and Jay. So many lessons to be learned going down the Pete Rose way. Going down the Pete Rose way.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.